Louise McSharry on 2FM.
Now we're going to have a chat about reading, because I think no matter what your own relationship is with reading, whether you have had a historically bad relationship with literacy itself, or maybe you used to read loads but you kind of fell off, which is something that has happened to me intermittently over the decades, or you're just someone who just never really, you know, clicked with reading or books, but you have kids, you probably want your kids to be the bookworm you maybe are not. So today we're going to talk about how you can try and instill good reading habits at home, even if it's not top of your list. We are joined by co-chair of Dublin Learning City and book enthusiast, Dr. Holly Foley, who has some tips to help. Hello, Holly. Sorry, Holly, I put the wrong line up. Hello.
Good morning, Louise.
How you doing?
I'm really great, thank you. And I'm delighted to talk about my favourite subject, books.
Yes, well, we loved having you on the last time because obviously this is something you're so passionate about. But, you know, there you can understand, I'm sure, that not everyone finds it so easy to pick up a book and read.
Completely. And definitely from the outset, like when we talk about bad reading habits, I wouldn't want any parent listening to feel like there's a woman on the radio telling me now another thing that I have to do. You know, yeah. This is another thing on my parenting checklist. Or like, we have just survived a global pandemic, and if you've done that with toddlers, you deserve a medal. So this is in no way to add to your burden of parenting. But if you would like to have to create a reading culture or to have embed books into your home in a way that works for your house, hopefully maybe you'll get some inspiration or some ideas this morning.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's tough. Like, I used to be a massive, massive reader. It's funny, I was reading a book last night. My husband was watching football on the TV and I was thinking that is how I spent my childhood. Like, on the couch beside my dad would be watching the football and I'd be reading The Babysitter's Club or Sweet Valley High or whatever book it was. For a while I only read Holocaust books. That's normal, nice. I'm sure, for children. But that was what I did. But then as you get older, you know, life can get busy. And I do think a lot about what I'm showing my children, even down to like, you know, should I read a physical book or should I read a Kindle? Like, is it a better visual for my kids to see me reading
like,
an actual book?
That's an excellent question. Yeah, like what constitutes as reading and what's appropriate reading? I think we should dispel some of those myths and like, reading is excellent no matter what you're reading, what format or whatever. So like, I can take you through some top tips that will just demystify maybe, you know, what does it mean when we say it's really good to get your child to read. So if you maybe didn't grow up reading or you were an avid reader as a child but it has completely fallen off your radar and you wouldn't even know where to begin in choosing a book for your child, the first thing I would say is nobody knows your child better than you, so you can do a little inventory with them. So what are their hobbies, what are their interests, so if it's sports, art, dancing, baking, if you have pets, who are their role models, a little checklist or an inventory. And I would bring that to my local library. Your librarian can be your best friend here. They have an encyclopedic knowledge, but they also know the trends for the age group, so they know, okay, your child is big into this is their age group, you gotta get this book, this is the one for them. So like, getting to know your child's interests and then transferring that into book love. Putting the choices out there. So as you said, like, does it matter? Does it have to be a physical book? And I would say absolutely not at all. Like, if you have a love for books, you do love a physical book. But great ways to instill love of reading in those really bite-sized ways are comics and magazines. So if your kids have favorite TV shows, there's so many magazines that complement those TV shows. Yeah. They've quizzes and word searches in them, and they are not to be like, you don't look down your nose at them. They are excellent reading resources for your children.
Okay.
You can also, if you have like sciencey kiddies, you can get like a subscription to the National Geographic. That's always a great birthday present. So it arrives every month in the post to them.
That's such a good point. Like, my son loves a magazine. Now, the problem for he does the stickers and he plays with whatever toy is attached to the front. I wish they would stop doing that. But then we're like, okay, now let's do the magazine. And sometimes he's like, no, I'm done. But you know, he's maybe that little bit too small. Like, he's only 4. So I would imagine as he gets older, it'll be easier to get him to kind of invest in the rest of the magazine. But I hadn't considered that. So yeah, that's a good point. And you mentioned word searches there. Is that a good way to get kids kind of engaged?
It's unbelievable. So it's vocabulary, it's spelling, it's identifying words, it's like using their detective skills. It's excellent. And there's such a sense of achievement for them at the end of it. So like, anything like all literacy is good literacy. If you can see like starting from letters to words, building up to sentences and books, like it's all reading. So we don't have to be snobby about the type of material.
Yeah.
Reading is like a shopping list is reading, you know? Yeah. So like that's another way as well that you can bring your kids, it can embed it in daily life.
Okay.
I would definitely get your child a library card. So I think I got my daughter's library card when she was one. So I don't think there's a minimum age for getting your own library card. And now that libraries have self-service, your child can go to the library, pick the book off the shelf themselves, scan their library card themselves, scan the books out themselves, and they're their own librarian.
I mean, that in itself, like, kids would love that.
Can you imagine? Yeah, it's so independent and they're just off on their own little adventure. And libraries also have junior book clubs. So like, I know a lot of parents of toddlers would be aware of the little kind of toddler groups that they might have, but they have junior book clubs from age 7 to 9, 9 to 11. So if you're not an active reader, but you would love your child to be engaged in reading activities, this is a great outlet for them where they can discuss books with their peers, but it's guided as well. So they're really getting the most out of the book. Then in the home, I love the idea of creating a cozy space. So you talked about reading on the sofa beside your dad. Like, that's really sensory, you know. Like, it brings up all those really nice memories of coziness and familiarness. So the cozy space is key. Now, you could go onto Pinterest and you could go bankrupt creating your cozy space for your kids to read. Or you could be like, okay, €2 set of fairy lights and a big sofa cushion. Bam, we've done it. Just that idea that this is a special little place, it's nice and cozy and familiar and safe for them, and that's a really nice spot to have in your home. I would always recommend having the books at eye level for children, so that they can see them, that they can take it off the shelf themselves, so they're choosing their own material. And then I would advocate for giving books as much kind of seniority as your TV or your laptop. So if you have a TV unit or a TV table, I would also like use that as a place to store books. So you know, the choice is there, you know, like you have it there anyway, and I would just double it up. That would be...
I am like literally scribbling notes down as you're talking. This is inspired. That's such a good idea to put the books right beside the TV.
So like you can make your own choice, but the option is there.
Yeah, because they're on equal footing.
Exactly. So
Holly,
I love it.
This is genius.
And then just a final little tip would be about reading aloud. So I know, like, we all know about the benefits of reading aloud to our children for repetition, for them getting to recognise the words. But it's really good to reverse that and get them to read a book to you, or if they have a younger sibling. Now, if you have, let's say, a nervous reader maybe, or a hesitant reader, they might not want to do that. But you can get them to talk to you about the books. You can say, like, oh, tell me what happens and who's this person here? They look angry in this picture. What happens? And that might build up their confidence a little bit.
Yeah. And even, does it matter even, because my son likes to read us books, but like he obviously can't read, but he likes to pretend that he can if he knows a book well.
No, that is so fantastic, because like, I mean, even in the library there's usually pre-literacy books where it's literally just images, so you are creating your own story. It doesn't matter what's on the page. Like, that's so imaginative, and he is putting his own vocabulary. Love it. That's excellent.
I think he might now, I suspect he might enjoy attention, and I just don't know where he might have gotten that from, but I get the feeling he enjoys being the center of attention. So weird that that would come from me. Okay, so those are just such super tips. And can I ask, like, how common is it that, you know, people do have literacy issues? Because obviously we're talking about oftentimes it's just people fall out of the habit, but what about actual issues around literacy? Are there many parents who experience that? And is there much support for people like that?
So I think homeschooling might have shone a light on this, where people didn't even realise that they had an issue themselves. But the statistics for Ireland are that 1 in 6 adults have a literacy skill of level 1 or below. So what level 1 is,
1 in 6.
Is that someone might have difficulty reading the prescription labels on a bottle, they might have difficulty reading a menu or the ATM instructions, that kind of level. Now, 1 in 6 might sound like we're winning, but there is a shame and a stigma that comes with having low literacy levels. So if, for example, I have difficulty reading, I have never really discussed it even with my partner, I don't have books in my home, you can see how that becomes intergenerational. And that's where that 1 in 6, it's very hard to budge, because it becomes intergenerational. So let's say if I have low literacy levels, how can I engage in reading activities with my child. I really want to, but I don't even know where to begin. And there's a real structural barrier there. We're not just talking about, I don't know what book they want to read. I don't know how I could possibly support them. Yeah. So there's so much support available. The National Adult Literacy Agency is a free service. It's a national service. So there's a free phone number that I'll put on my Twitter that you can contact to find out where your local service is based. And it's very much meeting you where you're at. So if your goal is to read a bedtime story to your child, or if your goal is to be able to help your older child with their homework, that's what the goal will be, and they will support you to achieve that goal. And what I would say is there are lots of workarounds. So because there is a stigma and a shame, which there shouldn't be, very often it's internalized, but I suppose we see ourselves as such a progressive country, it's unbelievable that, you know, somebody might have difficulty with literacy. Not everybody is ready to seek help or support. So if you are listening and perhaps you're just, you're not ready to do that, but you would love to support your children with reading, there's lots of different workarounds. And if you have low literacy, you are so sharp at finding workarounds. So this will definitely, I'm hoping things like YouTube have amazing read-alongs. So every book imaginable, there's loads of different channels. If you want to choose a book yourself, or if your child has a book in the home, you stick on the read along, and you can do that before, like you can do that, let's say, while your child's at creche or at school. Build up your own confidence with the book. It's literally somebody reading page by page, turning the page. It's at a really good pace. So you can build up your own confidence then to do that with your child. Or it's something that you could do together. The three, you know, the three of you could watch the read along together and do it together. But that's a kind of a workaround, I would say, until you feel maybe ready to address that.
Then it's sorry to interrupt, but it's completely understandable. Like, as you say, you know, that there would be a shame or a stigma around it. And I can understand that it might be something that you might never want to admit to anyone. So I can imagine that that's a real block for seeking help in the first place.
And like, to the reason somebody would have low literacy is very often so circumstantial. It's so, it has been so beyond their control. It's usually maybe interrupted schooling, early school even. So that is way beyond the control of a school age child. So this, the shame shouldn't be theirs, but it can become internalized. So, you know, it is a sensitive subject, but the help is definitely there.
That's great. Sorry. So yeah, you suggested the read-alongs. And then I think, do you have another suggestion for people in that situation?
Yes, story sacks. So I don't know if you've ever heard of story sacks.
No.
Maybe. So they're really popular in earlier settings, but they're great for if a parent has low literacy levels, how they can enjoy books with their children. So essentially, you can do, like, you can make it from stuff you have at home. Literally, the sack can be your a pillowcase. And what you're doing essentially is creating props of the book. So it'll take something like the three little pigs. Your child could draw pictures of the pigs. You cut them out, stick them on a lollipop stick, and these are your props for the pigs. You might make a little prop of a wolf and a house. You're going to blow the straw roof down. So you're telling the story with props. You have it in your little story sack, and that comes out instead of, let's say, the physical book at bedtime, if the words themselves are what scares you. So you could have listened to the read along on YouTube, created your story stack with your child, because it's really a great way to enhance the story. Or like, if you talk to the preschool teacher or the teacher what books they're doing in school, you can create a story stack to support that. So just like, it is creative, and it's something that you, they can do together to really enhance the reading experience if the act of reading is a block in itself.
Okay. Now, before I let you go, it's an opportunity to talk about Dolly Parton, and I will never, ever miss it because Dolly has obviously done incredible work around trying to encourage kids to read, hasn't she?
Oh, yes, she is a legend and an icon. And before she was curing COVID by investing in the vaccine, she was curing literacy. So I think it's really good to have such global icons address the issue, because like that, when we talk about shame and stigma, when you have a trailblazer like Dolly Parton saying, you know, this is okay, like this is not your fault, we're going to address this, it really lifts some of the mystery around it. So Dolly Parton talks about how she grew up in abject poverty. There were no books in her home, her parents couldn't read, and she doesn't want that for any other child in the country, so she set off on this crusade. Now, Ireland only joined the Imagination Library in 2019, and we're only the fifth country to have joined. But the ethos of the Imagination Library is you can register your child from birth. So from birth till age 5, every month in the post, they will get a book addressed to them. So by the time they get, it's their 5th birthday, they have 60 books in their library.
And they're getting post every month, which is post my every children's month, which, who favorite
doesn't
thing?
Love to get a gift in the post? Yeah. But so there's a few imagination libraries around Ireland, but you can go on to, if you just Google Dolly Parton's Imagination Library, yeah, you can register your child for it. But if you are like an early years organisation or a children's organisation, you can register to manage your own local imagination library as well. So there's opportunities for businesses to get involved and really support the cause.
Fab. God, I love her. I love her so much.
She's incredible.
Holly, very quickly before I let you go, I gather you're recruiting schools for a new project.
Yeah, so when people think of literacy, they usually think about reading and writing, but there's also digital literacy that we all need to cope with now. So the big switch to Zoom would have left a lot of people in trouble. So myself and the team in the All Institute Maynooth University and Microsoft have collaborated on a digital wealth project, and we want to bring schools from a place of digital poverty to digital wealth. So we're recruiting primary and secondary schools. So I, on my Twitter page, I think it's at Holly M. Foley, I have a Microsoft form there. So if you are in a school that's suffered with digital poverty during the pandemic, you can just fill out the form and I'll get back to you about that.
Super. I've tagged Holly in my on my Twitter page this morning, so you can link there. But it is at Holly and Foley. Holly, thank you so, so much. That's co-chair of Dublin Learning City, Dr. Holly Foley. It's been a joy to speak to you again. Thanks so much.
Thanks so much, Louise.
Thank you.
Louise McSherry on 2FM.